And the first one is, what did God, when did God show up in your life? How did God show up in your life? What did that mean for you? And what changed in your life from that? So think about those questions. Because those questions are a part of our story. It's about who we are. Story is important. Story is what we love to talk about. Story is what we love to tell. And story is what we love to hear. Stories get past our outer shell and get into our inner self. Stories sometimes cross over our intellect and hit internal inside of us. And Jesus told stories so that he got through the outer exterior of a person into their heart to reveal truth. I want to tell you a story from my life. When I was in Yandina, I joined a four-wheel drive club. It was a four-wheel driving camping club. And it was partially because I needed a hobby and I needed people outside of the church, no offense, but needed just people outside of the church to connect with. And a part of that was so that I could be a Christian in a non-Christian world rather than just be in our Christian circle. And so what we used to do, what they used to do, with once a month they'd go on a four-wheel drive, and once a month they'd go on a camping trip. So I was a part of this group, and I tried to get away once a year for a camping weekend because apparently I work on Sundays and that ruins the whole weekend. So I'd go away for weekends here and there. And I want to tell you this one weekend. This weekend had about 30 people there, and 30 people, about five of them kids. And so we went there Friday afternoon and talked and campfired. Saturday we went for a drive. Saturday night, campfire. They had a campfire cookout thing. I don't know. I just ate. And then Sunday, short drive, go home. Great weekend. These 30 people, of about these 30, I'd had probably six of them I'd had good God talks to before the weekend. Now, a God talk is about God for about an hour or so. During the weekend, I had seven individual God talks with people. And of those people, of those conversations, all of them were related to God somehow. And that was really cool. Often, the conversation started with, you're a pastor, what do you do for the other 6 days a week? Which is great, because I get to talk about, I connect with people, I plan stuff, we have Bible studies, we have groups with kids, we have groups with old blokes, we have groups with this. I connect with people, I talk with people, I sit with people. So we had, and that as a pastor makes it really easy to go into a conversation. Other conversations started with, so why are you a minister? Which means I get to talk about what I was like at school, having an apprenticeship, moving out of an apprenticeship and exploring what that means, falling into being a missionary, falling into being a trained pastor, falling into a pastor, what that looks like. So I had these really amazing conversations. On the Saturday when we went for a four-wheel drive, let's just say my four-wheel drive was probably not like what I drive now. We're going up this steep hill. If you've been around behind the Glasshouse Mountains, there's Big Red, there's Little Red. We're going up Little Red. If that makes no sense to you, just be impressed. Now that you're impressed, I didn't get up there. Most of the way up, I was going up this rock step. The car just cut out and died. And I'm on an angle, like I reckon that. Probably, it was steep. And so we're stuck on this hill, and I'm holding on the brakes because obviously they're working well. And the car's almost overheating, and anyway, so it just cut out. So I'm talking to people out the window saying, if you go under here, look under there, there's a fuse, check that. Okay, that's melted. That's not good. We need to replace it. So I had people walking on the car. Anyway, we finally got out of there and got up to the top of the hill, and I'm sort of almost in tears, so stressed and all that. Got up to the top of the hill, and I got out to do something and looked under, and there's automatic oil just dropping onto the ground. And if you know anything about cars, that's not really a good thing. And so we got back to the camp, and more auto oil coming out. And anyway, after the tow truck going home, so many people responded that in that time of stress, they saw how I responded to that, and it was a good thing. And I was able to say it was because God was with me even in that situation. And so I was able to give a testimony of what I did. My actions told a story of who God is and what God's done in my life, because I knew that when I was 15, 16, that was not how I responded. It was a very expensive testimony. It was a very expensive weekend, but it was able to impact into so many people's lives. And when I say God talks, so I'm not standing here saying, oh, Matthew 13 said and 1 Corinthians says. I was telling stories of me, but more importantly, what God was doing in my life. And more importantly, I was telling stories of what Jesus did. And so people would say, oh, this has happened, and went, oh, yeah, there's a story like that I read that, you know, this king had this baby, and two women came up and they said, it's my baby, and my baby, my baby, my baby. So he said, I'll just cut it in half. And one woman said, you can have it, and he knew whose baby it was. And I talked about the wisdom that came out of that sort of decision and how God gives us wisdom when we need it. Things like that. So I told stories about God without having scripture and verse, but telling stories of Jesus, telling stories about what happened, telling stories of what God's done in my life. And that was an amazing weekend, not because it was expensive, but amazing weekend because I was able to share God with so many people in so many ways. We have those opportunities. We have those opportunities because God has done things in our lives. And sometimes we think nobody cares, and that's not true. People care, and people want to hear hope. People want to hear encouragement. And we know that encouragement and hope comes from God, because that's what we know. We know of God's encouragement. We know of God's hope. And as we tell stories of how God has met us, we give hope to people around us that God can do that for them as well. God is good. And Jesus taught us to talk in stories. Jesus taught us to talk in parables. And Adrian read out before from Matthew 13. And when Jesus said, well, the disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? And Jesus outlined why he did that. Now, a parable, as we've looked at, is a parable is a story, and it basically means to stand alongside. It's a story that stands alongside of a truth. It's a story that gets in behind our defenses, get behind our responses to be able to tell a story that gets in. And those stories got into, deeply into, the lives of the people that Jesus was speaking to. So I want to read that passage again, just so that it's a bit more fresh. Not that Adrian did a bad job, because you did a good job. You should be a teacher or retire. But thank you, Adrian. The disciples came to him and asked, why do you speak to the people in parables? And he replied, because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You'll be ever hearing, but never understanding. You'll be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become callous. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and in turn, I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see but did not see it, and to hear what you hear but did not hear it. So did Jesus tell parables to explain stuff, or did Jesus tell parables to go beyond people's understanding? And the answer is yes. He told stories that people got, and he told stories that people didn't get. And I know that I figure there'd be a lot of people in the time of Jesus walking away going, what a great story. That was entertaining. Good job, Jesus. And there'd be others that would be walking away going, wow, that just cut me to the core. Jesus told stories to impact, but not impact everyone. I think the greatest example of a story like that is with David and Nathan in the Old Testament. Now, David is an amazing guy. He's the king. So you know what kings can do and can't do. They have total authority. You do not go up to a king and say, "Excuse me, king, you're a bad person." That doesn't go down well. And so what had happened is David was up on the roof one day looking over next door and went, "Oh, hello," because that's how David spoke. "Hello, nice." And he saw Bathsheba and he wanted Bathsheba. Bathsheba, however, was married to another guy. And he saw, "Oh, that's a problem. What can I do? I'm the king." So he sent him down to the war, got him to go into the front row in the war where he got killed. And then he said, "Oh, she doesn't have a husband anymore. Hee-hee, she's mine." Not a very nice person, not thing to say. But Nathan knew this, and he went up to David and wanted to confront him. Now, could Nathan have gone up and said, "I saw what you did. You're bad"? Because what would have happened then? David would have said, out of context, "Off with his head." Nathan's life would have ended. But Nathan came up and told David a story. And this is in 2 Samuel 12. "The Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, 'There were two men in a certain town, one rich and one poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. It shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveller came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveller who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb that had belonged to the poor man and prepared it for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, 'As surely as the Lord lives, this man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity.' And Nathan said to David, 'You are that man.'" Nathan told a story that cut through the exterior, cut through the "you can't confront me" to his heart. And the conviction of God worked in his heart to be able to say, "This is who you are." And David broke down. David realized what he had done and called for repentance from God. The story gets in behind, through our exterior, through our outer, through our expectations, through our pride, through all sorts of things, to be able to get to the heart. Stories are told to be able to change us. And for some people they do, and some people they don't. And when Jesus told stories, he knew that some people would get them and some people wouldn't. And some people needed to get them and some people didn't. There's a story, a saying that goes, "The same sun hardens the clay and melts the wax." The same story for some people melts our heart, and for some people it's just a story. So what makes a story a good story? Does it need to be long? One of the things that we need to expand on, so a good story is a long story. If it's shorter than The Lord of the Rings, it's not really a story. In Japan, they have a haiku. Is that how you say it? Haiku, thank you. And a haiku is under 10 words. So a haiku tells a story really briefly. And this is an example for one. "The barn burned down, now I can see the moon." There's a story just in a few words. There was a challenge on Ernest Hemingway, and they're sitting around and they're talking, and his mate said to him, "I bet you can't write a story with 6 words. And he leaned over and he wrote on a piece of paper, 6 words: "For sale, baby shoes, never worn." In just 6 words, it's a story. And the Bible has short stories too. And there's this one in John 11:35 that says, Jesus wept. Jesus wept is a story. It's not just 2 words, it's a story. God, the God of the universe, the creator of all things, God who came to person in the point of Jesus, Jesus who can do all things, who can raise the dead, who can heal the sick, who calm the storm. This Jesus walked, he looked on this person, and he wept. And he wept just before he rose him from the dead. This God of the universe had compassion for the loss and the grief of the people who were around him. Jesus knew he was about to raise him from the dead. He wasn't crying for Lazarus, but he was identifying and understanding the grief of people and the grief of humanity and our grief. Jesus wept for Martha and Mary. Jesus weeps for us. Jesus wept as a story. We have the capacity to tell stories, to be able to explain to people about who God is, about what God wants to do, without really explaining who God is and what God wants to do. But we need to make sure that our stories have good theology. I just made it hard. We have to make sure that we have good theology. We have to make sure that our stories have integrity, that they're true. So often we need to have a think about the stories that we tell and to ask ourselves, is there good apologetics in that? Apologetics is an explanation of the gospel, an explanation and an understanding and a reasoning of who God is and why God is what he is and how we understand God to be. Apologetics answers questions like, how do we know that Jesus was raised from the dead? How do we know that the gospels are reliable? How do we know the difference between God's presence and an emotional experience? Behind our stories, there's an apologetic, there's an understanding, there's an explanation of who God is and what God is doing. And all of that comes out of our understanding of the Bible. Everything comes out of the Bible. Our Bible is our text. Our Bible is our foundation. Our Bible is our understanding. Our Bible gives us the truth and the understanding of who God is. And from our understanding of the Bible and what God does in our lives, we have stories to tell that are our own. Paul told his story in Colossians 1:13. He says, "For you have heard my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people, and I was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers." Paul tells a story of who he is and where he came from as he writes letters to the churches he's gone to, and they know Paul from when they meet Paul. And Paul says, but there's more to me than that. This is where I started. I started off being a persecutor of the church. I started off being the opposite of what I am now. And I became different because of what Jesus has done in my life. Later on in 2 Corinthians, Paul's talking and there's all these different prophets that are coming in saying, I'm more important. And Paul says, okay, everyone, all these people are saying they're more important. Let me just give you a bit of my story. Whatever anyone else dares to boast about, and I am speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I've worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and have been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? He's telling of his story, not from, look how good I am, you should be like me. But he's telling his story saying, I love God so much for what he has done for me that I'm willing to suffer. I'm willing to be persecuted. I'm willing to live a tough, hard life because of what God has done. I want to give back to God and I want to serve you because of my God. He goes on to say, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. And that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Paul's saying my qualifications come from suffering for my God. Not because God has blessed me, not because I'm wealthy, not because I'm powerful, but because God has loved me so much, I give my entire life back to him. And he's saying that I care for you guys so much. God is good, and God wants to do good things in you as well. Paul tells a story. Nathan told a story to David. Jesus told stories that cut through the hard exterior and into the hearts of people. And we tell stories. We tell stories all the time. So how do we tell a story and why does it matter? Well, first thing we need to understand is who is our audience? Who are we talking to? There's some things we're not going to talk about with some people and we are to another. I love the passage where it says that Jesus will wash us clean as snow, will be white as snow. Not a good example in Cairns. Who is our audience? Who are we talking to? What questions and what stories will help the situation that we're in? Understand the story you want to tell. Our whole life is a story. Our whole life can tell a story, and we can sit here for 3 or 4 hours to tell a story. Not ideal. Remember I said that stories can be short. A powerful story can be 2 words, 6 words, 10 words. Our story, we need to be able to say, how can I tell my story to connect with this person that I'm talking to? What's going on in their life that I can help them to be able to understand what God wants to do in their life? How has God helped you? How has the church helped you? How have fellow Christians helped you? Where is God in your life right now? Great stories are a part of our life. Eugene Peterson says, we live in a world impoverished of story, so it is not surprising that many of us have picked up on the bad habit of extracting truths from the stories we read. We surmise principles that we can learn in a variety of settings at our discretion. We distill a moral that we can use as a slogan on a poster or as a motto on our desk. He goes on to talk about when we're telling stories, we can be producers or curators. What a producer does is take a story and make it better. They take a story and say, oh, we can add this bit in, we can take this bit out. If we add this, we can do this. And what he's saying as a producer is when we tell stories, we create an image or we create a story that we say is true. A curator is someone who takes a story and preserves the purity of the story, even if there's ugly bits, even if there's unhelpful bits. A curator in a museum will have this artifact and say, this artifact is not perfect, but it's better because it's not perfect. We're called to tell stories as curators, not as producers. We're not called to create a story and say, oh, my life was, oh, that's a bit boring. Let's add a little extra. Let's put a bit more into this. There's no integrity in that. We're called to be curators, to tell our story, to be able to share our story as it truly is. Good stories reveal our need. Good stories that we tell aren't everything is perfect, life is beautiful. Our stories tell brokenness, our stories tell of the needs that we have. Everybody in our community has needs. Everybody that we meet has issues. We don't always know them because it's not something we put on our t-shirts. I have a problem, talk to me. But everyone has an issue. Everyone has stuff that's going on in their lives. People have sadness. People have grief. People have trauma. People have good days. People have bad days. People have things they understand, things that they don't understand. And our stories are good stories connecting with people's needs. We've all experienced different things. And God has met us in those places and in those needs. Great stories lead to hope. The thing that's missing in our world is hope. You listen to the news, how much hope do you have? None. Around our world, around our society, there's so little hope. And the key thing that God brings is hope. We have hope for healing. We have hope for eternity. We have hope for relationship. We have hope for wholeness. We walk in hope. As Christians, our whole lives are filled and surrounded by hope. And our stories need to communicate hope. In our brokenness and in our need, there is hope that God is good and God will do things. And great stories highlight Jesus as the hero. We all love a hero. We all have that need for someone to step in and go, I'm going to save the day. When we tell our story, we have stories of need. We have stories that have hope. And our hope is in Jesus. Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our healer. Jesus is the wholeness of who we can be. Jesus is our model for life. Jesus is our foundation for who we are and our beliefs. And the stories need to come back to who is Jesus and how has Jesus been the hero, the saviour in our lives. The Bible tells us to tell stories. In Psalms 107, it says, let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe. In Romans 1:12, Paul says, when we get together, I want to encourage you in the faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. The Bible's telling us to tell stories, to encourage each other, to share testimonies of who God is and what God has done, to share stories of hope, stories of where Jesus is, stories of encouragement. So where did I start? I started with four different questions that I want you to reflect on. When did God show up in your life? How did God show up? What did that mean for you? What changed in you as a result? This is your story. On Thursday night, we're having Faith Runs Deep. Faith Runs Deep, when we invite all our neighbours and our friends and those we know, when they go along and they interact for that night, many of them are going to walk away and God is going to be speaking into their hearts and lives. And they're going to want to ask you questions. Questions that often start with why, how, when. Questions which are essentially saying, what is your story? Get ready. Nights like that are going to create questions in people's lives. We are people who tell stories. Stories of hope, stories of Jesus. Are we prepared and ready to tell our stories to our community? Let's pray. Jesus wept. What a story. Father God, thank you that Jesus came down on earth. Thank you that he walks amongst us. Thank you that he showed us how to live. Jesus, thank you that you were here, you understand, you empathize. You walk with us. You understand grief. You understand frustration. You understand rejection. And you also are a God of hope. You died for us. You give us hope. You lead us into great things. Jesus, thank you that you sent us the Holy Spirit. And that the Holy Spirit can remind us of the things that we need to talk about when it's the right time to talk about it. Thank you that the Holy Spirit walks with us, talks through us, and leads us. Father, help us to be ready. Help us to be ready to speak of your goodness, to speak of the healing that you bring, the wholeness that you bring. Father, thank you that you are a God of hope, and we can walk in that hope in Jesus' name. Amen.